Turn with me to the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. We've sensed your presence here this morning, Father. We've been praying, opening our hearts. We've been worshiping. We've been praying for our brothers and sisters. And we pray that this last half hour will be profitable to our hearts because the Holy Spirit opens the Word, touches as we open our hearts and our ears to what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the story of blind Bartimaeus, and I'm sure the question crosses at least some minds. How does this story touch me? I'm a junior high kid, and what in the world has it got to do with me? Or I'm a parent with problems. I'm a college student, and I got this January term to face it. And I've just got the feeling this morning, if this story isn't relevant, if it doesn't help, why bother to try and preach it? But I have the deep feeling that the ways that people came to Jesus mirror to us the ways that people still come to Jesus. And they illustrate to us how we can approach God and find help for our particular needs. We're not beggars and blind this morning. But in this 10th chapter of Mark, there's a whole catalog of different approaches to God. And if you just go back to the beginning and look, it starts out with Pharisees coming to Jesus, and they came specifically to test him and to refute him. Then the disciples came and they started asking theological questions, and before they were done, along came a group of parents. I think they were probably mothers, but they had little kids with them, and they wanted Jesus to bless their kids. And the disciples said, "Don't, go away." And Jesus, blessed the little kids. And then came the rich young ruler that we spoke about 2 weeks ago this morning. And then James and John came, and another gospel tells us their mother came along with them. And they had some personal ambition. And then finally, blind Bartimaeus. It's just kind of a catalog of different people coming. You might say why they're in church this morning. Why people come? Why are you here? I hope you're not in the first category. Pharisees coming to find what's wrong with the sermon and so on. Probably you find something wrong and keep looking. But actually, the chapter closes with Bartimaeus. And I see Bartimaeus and the rich young ruler as a kind of a matching set or a contrasting set. And even though I preached on the rich young ruler 2 weeks ago by himself, I see Bartimaeus and the rich young ruler as foils, and we need to look at them in comparison and in contrast. If you missed the sermon 2 weeks ago, why, okay, We'll just take this one as a unit this morning. But first of all, I'd like to look at some contrasts in the approach of these two men to Jesus. Some contrasts in the way the rich young ruler came running up, so very attractive. Jesus looked at him and loved so forth. But when we look at Bartimaeus, the first thing I see is a very apparent dependency. He's a beggar. If people don't give him a handout, he's not going to make it. What a contrast from the rich young ruler. Bartimaeus knew he needed help. The rich young ruler came to Jesus very respectfully, but he came saying, "What must I do in order that I might inherit eternal life?" What a contrast. The beggar sits there in his blindness and cries out, "Help, help." He knew he needed help. There's an open sense of dependency there. I won't belabor that. But then the second thing I see about this beggar is his blindness. His blindness was apparent. He couldn't see Jesus as he really was. He had heard about him. He made application to him, but he was very apparently blind. Whereas the rich young ruler was blind in a very different way. Jesus said some very promising things, some profound things to the rich young ruler. He said, "If you will do certain things, you will have great treasures in heaven." And by the eye of faith, he was saying to the rich young ruler, if you'll trade some things that you can see and trust me, I will give you great treasures. The rich young ruler was blind too, but his was the blindness that we see in that last message to the churches in Revelation. The church of Laodicea, and you want to turn over there. I'm not going to bother in my Bible this morning, but it's the third chapter and about verse 17, where Jesus says to those people that were rich in that place where they made eye-salve and in that place where in Laodicea where they were very comfortable, he said, "You don't realize it, but you are not rich, you're poor. You don't realize it, but you're not keen-sighted, but you're blind. You don't realize it, you're not well-clothed, you're naked. And I counsel you to go and buy that which will bring what you need of clothing of righteousness, of sight, of true wealth." So there's a contrast here. It's apparent how Bartimaeus needs the Lord. It's apparent that he's blind, and his blindness was literal but also symbolic. But also I see contrast in the thing that brings this man to Jesus. Bartimaeus had a particular need. He wasn't particularly troubled about theological questions. He was blind. He wanted help because he was blind. He had a particular need. The rich young ruler came philosophically. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And let's discuss it. Let's discuss the theological implications of what it means to be a Christian. Bartimaeus said, "Look, I need help. I'm blind." And don't despise that, for it's often a crisis in our lives. Often it's a time when we have a particular hurt or a particular pain that God uses that thing to drive us to Him. And it may not seem so high and so lofty and so theological, but when you're hurting, God cares. And if we'll take it to God and cry out to God from where we are and then are open to God's teaching, God can use any point of entry into bringing us into eternal life. Contrast. Let's look at some similarities now in the way they came. When the rich young ruler came running up to Jesus, Jesus looked at him. and loved him. Remember, I made something about the fact that he looked. In this particular passage, Jesus is walking along. They're leaving the city. People are thronging him on every hand. This voice comes from the curb, if there was a curb. I'll see in about 10 days or 5 weeks. See if there was a curb there by the wayside. I'll look. I'm going to Israel. I'm just making a joke. Sorry. Why do I do that? But they're walking along and this voice comes off the curbstone somewhere and says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There's a lot of noise going on. But the Bible says Jesus stopped. I love that. I hear that voice. Jesus gave his full attention. Do you know how much a beggar's worth in a Mideastern country? Do you know how much, you know, the blind man? Nothing. But just the same type of attention he gave to the rich young ruler, no more, no less. Jesus stopped, and because he's God, when we cry out to God, because we hurt, because we have a particular need, it is as though God puts all the planets and nations on hold and turns and gives us his full attention and says, "Yes, what is it that you want?" I don't know if it grasps you or not. I don't know if you really believe it or not. But when you pray because you need God, Jesus stops. He looks. He hears. I really believe that. And here with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus is especially courteous. I think he's so sensitive. He's dealing with a non-existent self-esteem here. He's dealing with a low self-image. To the rich young ruler, he says, "What are you calling me good for? Go, sell what you've got, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me." He really challenges the rich young ruler. Here's blind Bartimaeus. He stops. He says, "Bring him over here." "Oh, Bartimaeus, how fortunate you are. He's calling you. Come on." And he jumps up and leaves his cloak behind, runs over to Jesus. And Jesus says, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" Wow. He asks the beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" If God asks you this morning what you would have him do for you, what would you say? That's quite a question, isn't it? If God asked you and just said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The beggar answered well. He answered even better than he knew. But he said, "Lord, I'm blind and I need help." And Jesus said, "All right, I'll take care of that. Go, your faith has healed you." I'd like to consider the endings of these two meetings. Contrast the close. The rich young ruler left Jesus sad and sorrowful. He felt he had too much to lose, and even though this man came philosophically, even though he came with a theological question, "Good master, what must I do?" and so forth, when he left, it was with a material problem. Things were in the saddle. He really couldn't give up what he could see. Blind Bartimaeus doesn't leave Jesus at all. Of course, he had the advantage that he didn't have too much to give up. Give up his blindness, give up his begging. But he asks and he receives, and then he follows Jesus in the way. And when we see the end of this story, the procession's going on. He forgot his coat over there by the curb. But there they go down the road. He wouldn't know it was his coat anyway. He'd never seen it. Have you seen that what's red or what's brown. It may not be flattering, but perhaps we ought to be thankful if we can identify more with this blind beggar than with the rich, self-sufficient, pious, philosophical young man who went away sorrowful. I think as we read this 10th chapter, very often we like to identify with the disciples and with the rich young ruler. But I would just remind us this morning that we are, whether or not we would admit it, we're tremendously dependent. Only God's grace, freely given, can reach us where we need to be reached. And we'd better come, even with specific problems. Lord, I'm hurting. You know where I am with my kids today. Lord, I'm hurting. You know I have pressures in junior high school to do things I shouldn't do. Lord, I'm hurting. Specific burdens and needs. We do not clearly see what is true, what's worth dying for, what's worth living for. We need Jesus to help us clarify our values and dare to trust Him when He says, if you will give up certain things, I will give you treasures. We're inclined to come to Jesus with particular perceived need rather than high and lofty philosophical reasons. But look, Jesus turns to us and says, what is it that you really want to do? You know, this isn't the first time in this chapter He asked that question, those same words. But if we can take Him at His word, I refer to that third chapter of Revelation. There's a picture there of Jesus who has stopped, who's standing at the door and says, if you'll just invite me. I'm the answer for your problem, but more, I'm the answer for your life. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus. What is it that you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. What is it that you want Jesus to do for you this morning? Let's pray. Lord, I have a specific answer to that question. It's the current agenda that I have in my own heart, in my own life and family. And you and I know what that answer is, but Lord, beyond that, like Bartimaeus, I pray that you will give me not just what I ask for, but more. And let me follow you in the way. This I pray for myself and for each of my brothers and sisters here today. In Jesus' name, amen.